Blog Talk Radio.
Mildly amusing.
Well, it was interesting. But anyway, here's something.
thing that really you haven't heard much about. Okay, and it's really kind of, oh, Christ, they took it down.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they just took it down.
What was it about?
Panicked residents start to flee Tokyo as radiation levels hit a rise third blast that's stricken Fukushima plant. The International Atomic Energy Agency today confirmed that radiation has been released from the atmosphere after yet another attack. So this is Daily Mail UK, but for some reason it's
attack.
Yeah.
It's not an attack.
Let's see if this thing comes up. Ah, there it is. Oh, okay. Okay.
Radiation leaking.
Yeah. Almost rise after third blast and attack at stricken nuclear power plant. This is the Daily Mail. Scores of terrified residents began to flee Tokyo today as a nuclear... This was... what is this?
This is March 2011.
Yeah, but this is put out January 8th. Okay.
Why would they do that?
I don't think so.
This is just reiterating what happened.
Yeah, I think that's... This is dated. Experts say winds are currently blowing.
No, this is what happened. It's not new news. It's old.
Well, they just put it out. They just
but
updated
it says,
it
look, March.
Yeah, I know, but I don't believe it. They do stuff like that. And what they did is they just took it down and they put it back up. So it's questionable what happened out there.
So that is not new news. That's old news.
I think it is new news, but they just made it all news, so it discredited it. Okay. Let's see if I can get into this one. Hang on, folks. You know, the minute people know that you are about to put stuff on the air, they get all freaked out. Jeez. Your face and name will appear in Google ads starting today. My friend Shaw Isaacson sent this over to me. It says, it's party time, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly 1 month after announcing the move, Google has updated its terms of service, allowing the company to use your profile information in ads. That means your face, name, and personal details will start popping up all over your network. Yay! Well, that might not be a reaction you share. And we learned from Facebook foray into social ads, there's plenty of people don't like their face and names to show up in ads. So much so that they sued the company and won. But fear not. You can opt out by unchecking the box on the bottom of this page. You can also read more about the new terms of service here. But seriously, opt out here. Opt out here. Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay there? Okay.
Yep.
This was bound to happen. Following Facebook's highly controversial attempt to make social endorsements ubiquitous on the site, Google just announced a term of service update that will enable the company to use your name, photo, and endorsements in its advertising network. So how does that make you feel? Well, Google obviously wants you to feel okay about the changes, and the company assures users in its announcement blog post on Google, you're in control of what you share. Emphasis Google's and that's technically true. You can opt out of the face flaunting news feature through the setting page in Google, but if you don't do anything, Google says it will use your information without explicit consent. Ugh. Well, doing anything from leaving a YouTube comment, starring something in Google Play, to giving it the OnePlus treatment will cause your face to show up on ads. Users under 18 usually will not appear in ads, while Google is also somewhat vague about who will see your face. So your friends, family, and others may see your profile, name, and photo, and content like the reviews you share or the ads you plus one. Okay? Facebook, however, is less vague. If you have selected a specific audience for your content or information, we will respect your choice when we use it. Although the new changes don't sound awesome, Google learned from Facebook's mistakes in a way. Facebook similarly used your likenesses in so-called sponsored stories. However, you can't opt out. When Facebook started doing this, users freaked out and said that the Facebook hadn't properly notified them about how the social network was using their endorsement. And when we say freaked out, we mean filed a class action lawsuit, which they won, prompting Facebook to change the site's privacy policy. The FTC has since opened an investigation into the matter. Well, obviously, Google wants to avoid the shitstorm that Facebook has endured. So they're trying to be better communicators. That doesn't distract from the fact that the search giant is going to start slinging your face and name all over the Internet without your explicit consent. You'll be notified with some banner ads on Google's home page before the new terms of service go into effect in November 1st. But it's up to you. It always helps to opt out if you don't like that.
Okay, let's get back to the Fukushima plant. Duct tape wire nets were used to mend the Fukushima water tank.
Oh, my God.
How about this? As TEPCO began preparations for the cleaning of the drainage system, with tons of leaked radioactive water at the Fukushima power plant, a former employee reveals the reason for so many leaks was cost-cutting measures, such as using duct tape. Yoshitatsu Uchi, an auto mechanic and tour bus driver, worked at the devastated nuclear power plant between July 2nd and December 6th. He was one of 17 workers from the Okinawa Prefecture sent to work at the crippled nuclear plant in 2012 to create new places to store contaminated water. The earthquake in March 2011 triggered a tsunami that hit Japan's coast, damaging the Fukushima Daiichi plant. The catastrophe caused the meltdown of three nuclear reactors at the facility, leading to the worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. The water used to cool the reactors has been leaking into the soil and contaminating the groundwater in the premises of the nuclear facility, with some escaping into the Pacific Ocean. The 48-year-old Japanese man said the workers were sent to various places in Fukushima, including an area called H3 with high radiation levels. In one of those cases in October 2012, Uchi was given a task to cover 5 or 6 storage tanks without lids in the E area close to the H3 as it was raining. When he climbed to the top of a 10-meter-high tank, Uchi found white adhesive tape covering an opening of about 30 centimeters. After using a blade to remove the tape, he applied a sealing agent on the opening and fit a steel lid fastening with bolts. According to instructions, he was to use 4 bolts, though the lid had 8 bolt holes. According to the employee, his colleagues later told him that the use of adhesive tape was a usual practice deal with the problem of sealing in radioactive water. I couldn't believe that such slipshod work was being done, and even if it was part of a stopgap measure, he said. Among other makeshift cost-cutting measures was the use of secondhand material. Uchi also said that wire nets were used instead of reinforcing bars during the placement of concrete for storage tank foundations. In addition, waterproof sheets were applied along the joints inside flange tape cylindrical tanks to save on the sealing agent used to join metal sheets of the storage tanks. Rain and snow had washed away the anti-corrosive agent applied around clamping bolts, reducing the sealing effect. According to the Fukushima worker, many of the tanks were later found to be leaking contaminated water. No kidding. So, that's what's going on there.
I'm just surprised that, I mean, they're destroying the Pacific Ocean. They're destroying the entire Japanese civilization. And yet, so little is being said. It's just, wow.
So they're talking about that. So what else is the problem there? Yeah. You know, that's, they're talking about those slipshod things.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what else they've done. And also, nobody ever talks about how high the radiation levels are in California.
Nobody mentions it.
Or the West Coast. Never mentioned by the...
We're the only radio show I know that's talking about it. Yeah.
Don't you think the senators and representatives from those states would be up in arms?
They can't talk about it.
They've been told not to talk about it.
I mean, they can't. And they'll cause an incredible panic, and you know, instead they're putting a scotch tape on nuclear reactors. I mean, it's really
far-egging
and frightening. Boosting cancer-fighting cells with these foods.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, these are a little
more positive things.
Yeah, yeah. We always like bringing up stuff that we can here. Let me see if we can get this up here.
Most of the work is focused on cancer prevention, treatment. Studies have shown the anti-cancer effects of berries are partially mediated through their abilities to counteract, reduce, and also repair damage resulting from oxidative stress and inflammation. They may also boost detoxifying enzymes, a bunch of other things, but this is new. The effects of blueberry ingestion on natural killer cell counts. Natural killer cells are part of our immune system's rapid response team against cancer cells. Taking them out through the activation of cancer cell suicide via death receptors. They're called natural killers because they don't require activation by prior exposure. You don't want to have to wait until your second tumor before your immune system starts fighting. We have about 2 billion of these soldiers circulating in our bloodstream at any one time. But we may be able to get a troop surge with blueberries. They had athletes eat about a cup and a half a day for 6 weeks to see if blueberries could reduce the oxidative stress of long-distance running. And indeed, that's what they saw, no surprise, a blunting of the spike in oxidative stress. But that's not what sets this study apart. The number of natural killer cells in the blood typically decreases after prolonged endurance exercises, dropping by half to only about 1 billion, unless you've been eating lots of blueberries, in which case you end up here. Because 6 weeks of blueberries doubled the number of natural killer cells up to over 4 billion. This has never been demonstrated in humans consuming blueberries. Well, no one's ever looked before. There was a study done on goji berries, and despite a cup a day for a month, there was no significant change in the number of natural killer cells. There was a study, though, that showed a significant increase in natural killer cell activity thanks to the spice cardamom. Cardamom and blueberries. I never thought we'd be fighting cancer with blueberry muffins, but check this out. You take some lymphoma cells in a petri dish, and you add cardamom, and nothing happens. If, however, you add some natural killers, and about 5% of the cancer cells are wiped out. But then you add a little cardamom, and your troops do a little better. And then if you add more and more, and all of a sudden, same number of natural killer cells, but they're now able to kill off 10 times more cancer cells. And remember, cardamom alone, even at the highest dose, had no effect on cancer cells, but it really seemed to enhance our NK cells' killer instincts. The same thing found for black pepper. Black pepper alone, nothing. and a little black pepper, no effect. But with enough, there seemed to be a boosting effect up around 30 or 40% cancer cell clearance. And if you had them both together, they appear to synergize and kind of work even better together. Taken together, these data strongly suggest that black pepper and cardamom have the potential to markedly enhance the anti-cancer activity of natural killer cells. And then imagine if you had twice as many in your bloodstream, thanks to this study, brought to you by, of course, the North American Blueberry Council and the North Carolina Blueberry Council. But then the last sentence is my favorite. There were no conflicts of interest.
still, fascinating, nevertheless. Okay, yeah, you can actually kill cancer. The blueberries. The GOPers tried to kill the benefit bill and said see the unemployment rates in their states.
But I think that the unemployment benefits are only good now for 3 months.
Well,
did I understand that correctly?
I'm not sure because...
That's all it is.
Well, that's what they're trying to extend, but it was, you know, it was a 99-week thing.
They haven't
come to that yet.
No.
So the Senate unexpectedly moved forward on extending much-needed unemployment insurance for the 1.3 million Americans who lost benefits shortly after Christmas. On Tuesday morning, the extension cleared an early filibuster by a 70-37 vote that six Republicans joining the Democrats in voting for advancement. The emergency... sorry, folks. We're trying desperately to get over this flu. But the Emergency Unemployment Compensation Extension Act, introduced by Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, a Democrat, by the way, okay, extends benefits from a long-term unemployed for only 3 months. But 37 Republicans still voted to block debate on the bill. And some of those Republicans who blocked the bill represent states with the highest unemployment rates in the country. Senator Dean Heller, a Republican from Nevada, the bill's Republican co-sponsor, and one of the new GOPers to vote to move the bill towards final passage in the Senate, comes from a state with the worst unemployment rate in the United States at 9%. It's no surprise that he might vote to extend benefits to those Americans who have been out of a job for 6 months or more, but that doesn't explain that no vote from Republican Senator Mark Kirk from Illinois, which has the fourth worst unemployment rate, 8.7%, and two Republican senators from Mississippi, which has an unemployment rate of 8.3%. And Republicans have cited the high cost of the bill as the reason, and they don't want to extend emergency benefits, although they've done it so repeatedly in the past. Well, Senator Kelly Ayotte, Republican from New Hampshire, Dan Coats, Republican from Indiana, Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, Rob Portman, Republican of Ohio, joined Heller as the only Republicans to vote for cloture. So what is happening, what will happen now? The bill will still have a long way to go before it passes the Senate. Some of the Republicans who voted for the cloture on Tuesday might still join another filibuster against the final vote. And Portman, for example, wants to proceed to the debate, but is demanding that the cost be offset by Democrats' hope to win his vote next time.
What? That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense, does it? Portman, for example, wants to proceed to debate, but is demanding that the cost be offset if Democrats hope to win his vote next time. And even if the extension clears the Senate, it will likely flounder in the Republican-controlled House. In the meantime, as America continues to face the worst long-term unemployment crisis since the Great Depression, families who have been using the recession-era emergency benefits to scrape by will now fall even deeper into the poverty well. Last year, unemployment benefits helped lift 1.7 million people, including 446,000 children, out of poverty, according to the National Unemployment Law Project. As one New Yorker who has lost their benefits told Mother Jones, "I'm thoroughly petrified." There is a list of every Republican who voted against the bill or abstained, as well as the unemployment rates in their state. Based on the most recent data released by the Labor Department of Labor, no Democrat voted against the bill, and it has been backed by the White House. Okay? So, oh my God, look at these bastards. Oh, these bastards. Should we read everybody's name? I don't know if we
should. Well, time.
They're all Republican folks, no Democrats, from every state, and almost every state has
high unemployment.
You know, so it's just amazing. Just get rid of the fucking, I'm sorry, get rid of the Republicans. They're horrible people. Just get the hell rid of them.
Well, here's from the alternate on the economy. Work until you're dead. Millions of older Americans say they will never be able to retire. They simply don't have the savings. According to CNN, roughly three-quarters of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck with little to no emergency savings. 50% have less than a three-month cushion, and 27% had no savings at all. No savings at all? That's right. So retirement is out of the question. A sizable chunk of the adult population is going to punch a clock until they keel over in the office parking lot and get hauled off to the company dumpster. And those are the lucky ones, the so-called baby boomers. By the time we get to the millennials, it'll be even worse because the economy will have been ravaged by 25 or 30 years of austerity, leaving the paroles to scrap by on hardtack and gruel. Pensions are already being looted, Social Security is under fire, and any small stipend that supports the poor, the unemployed, or the infirm is going to be terminated. That's why everyone is so down to the mouth, because their expectations of the future are so bleak. Check this out from Business Insider, and this is a quote. For millennials, the situation is even more grim. Compared to their parents at their age, the under 30 set is worth only half as much. And while this is a sobering reminder of the scale of the Great Recession's impact on the younger generation, it's not the whole story. These households were actually falling behind even before the stock market and housing crash, researchers found. Young people not only saw their wages stagnate or drop, but also suffered a rise in fixed costs. They leave college with an average of a $27,000 debt load and have a harder time finding a job that will pay well while facing more expensive health care and housing costs. If these generations cannot accumulate wealth, they will be less able to support themselves when unexpected emergencies arise or when they eventually retire. This financial uncertainty could reverberate throughout the economy, since entrepreneurial activity, saving, and investment tend to build on a base of confidence and growing wealth. It's sort of America in decline. Young people are much worse off than their parents were at their age. That's from Business Insider. An entire generation of young people have been raped and discarded by their government, and all the office cares about is the impact it'll have on personal consumption. Go figure. And there's a larger point here, too, which is that Americans have always believed that their children would enjoy a higher standing of living than their own, until now, that is. Now most people think things are going to get worse, much worse. You see it in all the surveys, expectations of change. The future looks darker than ever before, and people are scared. And then it says, check this out from CNN. Things appear to be looking up for the economy. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve felt confident enough to begin slowly withdrawing the huge economic stimulus the central bank has been pumping into the economy. Unemployment is the lowest in 5 years. Economic growth picked up recently. The housing sector, which got us into the mess in the first place, is bouncing back. Home sales prices in construction are all on the rise. Auto sales recently had their strongest growth since 2006. Gas prices have fallen dramatically this year, and the stock market has risen sharply. And there's some reason to be hopeful for next year, too. The Fed announced a slightly improved outlook for unemployment in 2014.
Okay.
Okay, Kitty.
Well, it's pretty grim. Mm-hmm. Pretty grim. Oh, man. It's kind of interesting. This is an interesting statistic I thought was kind of interesting. 2,998 people were killed by Muslims on 9/11. 12 million Native Americans were killed by Christians. Period.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? I thought it was. Did you? No. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, it's shocking.
It's
shocking.
It is. By Christians. Alert. Stop eating all Pacific seafood now. Major Fukushima nuclear radiation warning. Pretty sad.
Mm.
Pretty sick. How
do you do that?
Well, you got to look to see if it's from the Pacific. You know, see where it's from. Where the crap is from. So stop eating all Pacific seafood now. Yeah, this is a little.
What is focus? It's a wondrous sensation of clarity and alertness.
All right.
Yo, what's happening, people? This is Lokaya Corey. Thank you very much for joining me today. I never wanted to have to do this video. I didn't want to have to do the video I did a couple months ago where I told you guys why I was never going to eat tuna fish again because it comes from the Pacific Ocean. But it's come time for me to sound the alarm, sound the warning to everybody all around the world. No matter where you live on this planet, if you've been eating food, seafood, that is sourced from the Pacific Ocean, I need to ask you to stop. I need to ask you to stop right now. The radiation levels in the food are out of control. For those of you who are not aware, back in March of 2011, there was a disaster, a triple core meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant on the east coast of Japan. And ever since that happened, that plant intoxicated tons and tons, thousands and thousands of tons of nuclear waste into the Pacific Ocean, radiating the whole place in the northern hemisphere. There is a pile, a huge pile, thousands and thousands of miles of dead sea life on the floor of the Pacific Ocean right now, killed by the radiation from Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. Not only that, but China recently has put a ban on all shellfish coming from the United States West Coast states of Oregon, Washington, and Northern California. They say that has to do with arsenic levels. I'm not buying it. I believe it has to do with the radiation from Fukushima. And a lot of people on the West Coast of America, like in California, for example, are looking at the ocean in awe at all the dolphins and all the whales coming to eat all the smaller creatures that have come right up to the coastline, hundreds, thousands of them, more than normally show up. These people think it's amazing. It's not amazing. What's happening is the radiation all the way west to Japan and flowing all the way east to the west coast of America is pushing all these animals towards the coast because they have nowhere else to go. Not only this, but the Alaskan pink salmon is starting to turn yellow. I'm going to put some links down below so you guys can get the most up-to-date information on this disaster. It is terrible. It is way out of control, and the powers that be, the governments of the world, are doing jack shit about it. There is a huge cover-up going on worldwide about this nuclear disaster right now. The government of Japan recently passed a law making it illegal for their journalists to talk about it. They're basically talking about imprisoning journalists for even writing about the Fukushima nuclear disaster, which is ongoing and is going to be ongoing for the next 100,000 to 200,000 years. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but nuclear radiation doesn't just disappear. The nuclear radiation from this thing has gone around the planet multiple times already. It's affecting you and your family and your loved ones and your friends as we speak, and it's going to continue to affect us for the rest of our lives. So you need to start taking action right now to protect yourself from it. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out and spend spend a shit ton of money on nascent iodine or go buy some potassium iodide tablets like the ones I have in my basement right now, but it's getting pretty close to that point. And it's definitely at the point where you need to stop eating Pacific seafood. There's nothing that comes from the Pacific Ocean that you can eat that is safe. That goes for tuna, swordfish, shark, shrimp, whale, anything. If you guys eat any of that stuff, you need to stop eating it right now. And especially stop feeding it to your young children. If there's one more earthquake that hits the east coast of Japan and these reactors melt down any more than they've already melted down, it's bye-bye Japan. You can wave bye-bye to the nation of Japan. There are already people all over the nation of Japan reporting symptoms of radiation sickness. Babies being born with birth defects. Little kids with nosebleeds. And the government is trying to sweep it under the rug and say it's the flu or it's something else. It's not something else. It's the ongoing disaster known as the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant meltdown. I'm going to do what I need to do from this point on. You guys do what you need to do. If you need any more information on what you can do to protect your family and your loved ones from this disaster, send me a message. I will help you out. But at the very least, stop eating seafood from the Pacific Ocean. I'm begging you. Do it for you.
So that, you know, basically that's true. And I mean, we've heard a lot of stuff, and we've talked about this before, but I like this guy's delivery. And, he's right on the money with this. You know, low carb Corey is. But I appreciate that. Oh, man. Anyway. There's so much going on.
You don't know where to start?
Yeah, I just don't know. 1,600 people applied for 36 jobs in a Maryland ice cream factory. And Congress thinks we need to import more foreign workers. What do you think of that, Lila?
Well, you know, I don't even have any information on what to base that on.
Well, 1,600 people applied for 36 jobs.
And what is a job?
Maryland, in an ice cream factory.
Oh, in an ice cream factory.
Yeah, in an ice cream factory.
Well, right now I wouldn't even want to be near an ice cream
factory.
I know,
but they have 1,600 people applied for 36 jobs. So, unbelievable.
American applied.
This was a very interesting article, I thought. It's called The Obamacare Effect, Creating the Millennial Precariat Class. This is very interesting. But you know what? I think it's time we should have a little music break.
Okay.
And just to give us a little breather here. And we'll be right back. Yes, we will. So hang on a little.
Thank you.
creating the millennial precariat class in mainstreet.com.
Hmm.
Very, very interesting article. because it really is, it's really kind of frightening what's happening out there.
That was weird. Okay.
Yeah. All right. What is happening is the creation of a serfdom.
Excuse me, said Heisermeyer. If you think about it, there are very wealthy people paying the taxes, so they feel good about themselves helping the poor. And then there are the poor. It is the middle class that is forgotten. They are the ones most burdened by the higher taxes and increased regulation. As more of the middle class leave places like California and New York, as more of the middle classes leave, places like California and New York are beginning to look like Russia before Catherine the Great. Heisermeyer also noted that Obamacare encourages employers to keep low-wage workers on Medicaid by limiting their pay rates and hours worked. He points out that as long as those workers don't earn too much for Medicaid, their employers not only don't have to pay them for their health insurance, but also avoid Obamacare's fines for not offering them coverage. The trade-off for the workers is that they can keep their free health coverage and their jobs so long as their incomes remain low. Thus, a program initially established for the vulnerable poor, children, and disabled becomes a catch all for low-paid, able-bodied workers, half of whom are young adults. This means Medicaid is now added to the list of government initiatives that actively discourages economic upward mobility. Well, we summarized it anyway, so that's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, here's a fact. Unemployment among millennials, unemployment among millennials exceeds the national average. It's between 12% and 16%, opposed to the general population, which is 7%. It put many in the precariat class.
Obama, for all its noble intentions, Obamacare seems to have made this worse. Whole Foods CEO John Mackey recently said during an interview with a cable network that Obamacare is hurting his employees. The mandate has created an incentive among employers, he alleges, to hire fewer full-time workers. The plight of Mackey's workers is not unusual. Many employers are changing full-time workers to part-time to avoid the necessity of coping with the health care mandate. And many companies eliminated health insurance benefits for the same reason. It was cheaper for them to pay the fine for not offering insurance for their employees than letting the employees buy through the exchanges or enroll in a Medicaid. Predictability. The Department of Health and Human Services has a direct opinion of the economic effect of Obamacare.
Predictably, the Department of Health and Human Services has a different opinion of the economic predictability.
Oh, yeah, well, whatever. It posted a video on its website quoting a gentleman by the name of Mark Sullivan. The Affordable Care Act, for me, he says, was absolutely a job creator. Sullivan says, I like to call it the entrepreneurial tax credit. It was able to browse through 76 plans and pick one that best fit my needs, which made it easy to figure out what was good for me. I found a plan that was exactly what I wanted. Now I get to invest more in my business and less into health insurance. So, it's got, you know, the whole Obamacare thing is just trying to kill everybody off, man. You know, I mean, kill any decent employment job. HHS says that the tax credits for Sullivan means he will only pay $78 a month for health coverage as of January 1st. Knowing that I have this plan that covers me in case of an accident or problem is incredibly meaningful, he says. Obamacare advocates help the November Jobs Report as proof that the program has not deleteriously affected employment. But the report showed unemployment decreasing. But as the Bureau of Labor Statistics note, much of this was the result of furloughed federal workers returning to work. And still, private sector employment did increase, so that runs counter to the doomsayers.
But the Obamacare cheerleaders admit that Barack Obama delayed the employer mandate, so the motivation to go part-time was eliminated. Also, the BLS divides part-time workers into voluntary, those who choose to be part-time, and involuntary, those who cannot find full-time work. Involuntary part-time workers remain a significant amount of the total.
So anyway, it goes on a little bit more, but the whole key is that it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It all sucks. It's driving everybody into a part-time status.
Or a lot of people.
Lowering jobs and, you know, going low on Medicaid. Here's something that nobody knows. I didn't know until I read this article. It says 935,000 are displaced in Central African Republic amid unprecedented violence. Have we heard anything about that? No. No. I haven't heard anything. No, actually, some countries here. This is a report by Russia Today.
That's the name of it, the Central African Republic.
Yeah, in the Congo there. Okay. Doctors Without Borders recently reported another fatal incident involving a minor, with Dr. Gajan Adoka saying that a 12-year-old died from a gash on his skull. And the group's mission has faced uncertainty since attackers have also started targeting hospitals and refugee camps. According to Caroline Kledger, the emergency manager of Doctors Without Borders, says the hospitals are invaded by armed men. We have people with grenades in the hospital who came there to attack patients inside the hospital, he told RT, adding that many people hiding in the bush are also too scared to seek medical or humanitarian aid. French intervention, zero result, set off by Chinese oil contracts. The situation in Central African Republic has been deteriorating despite last month's deployment of 1,600 French soldiers to the former French colony. The move, which came less than a year since France sent its troops to Mali to help fight insurgents there, was ordered by President François Hollande, who said it was no other motive than to save lives, although his pronouncements were greeted with some suspicion at home.
French Defense Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian on Thursday visited the country's restive capital and vowed that France's UN-mandated mission in the Central African Republic will not be open-ended. Speaking in Bangui, Le Drian claimed that French boots on the ground in the Central African Republic will be as successful as they were in Mali, saying that the French government luckily did not listen to those experts who at the time predicted a gloomy outcome. Well, according to the minister, intervening in Africa is also ensuring France's security. I don't know how that is. When there is a security vacuum, it's an opportunity for all sorts of trafficking and an open door to all types of terrorism, Le Drian stressed. However, critics of the new French intervention to Africa said it was triggered by a much more prosaic motive centered around the country's financial interests in the region.
Yeah, it says former president of the Central African Republic was kicked out of power just at the moment when he signed an agreement with Chinese oil companies.
And that's when there was all kinds of insurgence?
Yeah. And Alain Privine President of France's new anti-capitalist party, has been even more forthright in his judgment. France used a pretext of human rights defense, but in fact it was aimed at protecting its economic interests. The Central American Republic is rich in resources, but its value is mostly due to its strategic location in the center of the vast and rich area. So it's eventually all about dominating and controlling the entire region. According to Pravin's, French colonial era policies are to blame for the creation of a number of totally artificial states like CAR, which has prepared some of the ground for conflicts in the region. So it goes
There's
on.
There's a report there. I wonder what that says.
Skyrocketing violence in the Central African Republic has forced international medical group Doctors Without Borders to almost halt its aid in the country's largest refugee camp. Fighting in the Republic has been on the rise since the start of the year, with Doctors Without now under threat. The UN is now also ringing the alarm of a humanitarian catastrophe as more than 500,000 people are facing starvation while disease is rampant in the crowded camps. And even though France has deployed a military contingent, they have so far failed to bring peace to the country, as RT's Marie Fnoshna now reports.
Less than a year after French boots marched into Mali, France again is fighting in another of its former colonies in Africa.
The situation in the Central African Republic is alarming, if not frightening.
Paris received a green light from the UN Security Council to use military force to restore order after deadly ethnic violence in the country escalated.
I have decided to act immediately, or more precisely, this very evening.
800 French soldiers were sent to the violence-torn country to join the 600 already deployed there.
France has no other motive than to save human lives.
A month later, and lives are still being lost on all sides. France's 1,600-strong force appeared unable to put an end to ethnic tensions dating back to the Central African Republic's independence in 1960.
France, a former monopoly, is responsible for helping to create in Africa a number of totally artificial states, like CAR. And now they jump in with this operation, which is stupid militarily, economically, and politically dangerous, scandalous from a human perspective, and led to zero results.
That's zero results if we are talking bringing stability to the country. But Alain Krivine, president of France's new anti-capitalist party, believes there is more to Paris's decision to intervene.
France used the pretext of human rights, but in fact it was aimed at protecting its economic interests. The CAR is rich in resources, but it mostly has value due to its strategic location in the center of a vast and rich area. So it's eventually all about dominating and controlling the entire...
Well, doesn't that sound familiar?
Oh, God, yeah. It's all the same.
It's just the globalists. Whether they speak French or whether Spanish or whether they speak Italian or English,
all they want to do is just
or English with an English accent.
But almost a million people displaced.
Yeah, with no thought about the human, what it does to humanity.
Yeah.
They just want the position in Africa.
And so it turns out
and there's no ethnic violence. They've created it.
Yeah. So it turned out that Obama's spending set $7.45 billion to help other nations deal with climate change. Don't you think it was a waste? I think so. Why would you send $7.5 billion to other places?
I don't know. Buying
somebody off. Yeah, well, that's pretty much what it is. New study demolishes almost every gun control myth. Right?
That's gun interest.
this is by Mediate. A study published in the latest issue of the academic journal, Applied Economic Letters, took on many of the claims made regularly by advocates of stricter gun laws. The study determined that nearly every claim made in support of stronger restrictions on gun ownership is not supported by an exhaustive analysis of crime statistics. The study, an examination of the effects of the concealed weapons law and assault weapons bans on several state levels of murder rates, conducted by Quinnipiac University, examined nearly 30 years of statistics and concluded that the stricter gun laws do not result in a reduction in gun violence. In fact, GIAS found the opposite, that a proliferation of concealed carry permits can actually reduce incidents of gun crime. Using data for the period 1990 to 2009 and controlling for state and year fixed effects, the results of the present study suggest that states with restrictions on the carrying of concealed weapons had higher gun-related murder rates than other states. The study's abstract reads, it was also found that assault weapons bans did not significantly affect murder rates at the state level. These results suggest that restrictive concealed weapons laws may cause an increase in gun-related murders at the state level, the abstracts conclude. That restricted concealed weapons laws may cause. So if you agree, I guess if you restrict concealed weapons, it means you get more murders. Gius notes that his findings are consistent with those of John Lott and David Mustard, who two researchers who authorized a controversial 1997 study that found that the right to carry concealed gun provisions both deters violent crimes and it appears to produce no incident in accidental death. There you go, folks.
That's interesting.
There you go. Yeah. Get your guns, get your concealed permit. And
one last thing is,
Detroit police chief to citizens said, arm yourselves.
Hmm.
That was interesting, too.
Oh, really?
Very nuts. Arm yourselves.
That's a black guy, too, right?
Yeah, he's a black chief of police in Detroit.
I wonder why he said that.
They don't have enough people. They don't have enough cops to guard them, to guard the people. Detroit police chief to citizens, arm yourselves. Hang on a second here, I'll try to get this article.
During his 28 years on the police force in Los Angeles, James Craig tended to agree with his state's tight control over concealed carry permits, believing fewer guns would lead to fewer violent crimes. But when he moved to Portland, Maine in 2009 to serve as the city's new police chief, he discovered a different culture, one where guns actually made people safer. Now Craig, the chief of police in Detroit, Michigan, has a message for those law-abiding folks in his crime-ridden city. Arm yourselves, and criminals will think twice about attacking you. At a press conference at police headquarters Thursday, the Detroit News reports Craig plays the deterrent power of legally armed citizenry. When we look at the good community members who have concealed weapons permits, he said, the likelihood they'll shoot is based on a lack of confidence in this police department. Craig's statements echoed those he made December 19th on WJR's radio, The Paul W. Smith Show. There's a number of concealed pistol licenses holders running around the city of Detroit. I think it acts as a deterrent. Good Americans with concealed permit licenses translates into crime reduction. I learned that real quick in the state of Maine. At the press conference, I guess he answered questions on that, but that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's 9 o'clock, and we're ending our show. But I want to thank everybody who joined us. And we got a union show tomorrow, and I'd like you to join us for that one. And we'll be talking about a lot of job issues and things that are happening around the world and around the country. So please join us then. And for everybody, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Good night, folks.
Radio.